Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
There is a partial injunction of the Arizona controversial immigration law.
She is saying to the state of Arizona, stop on the key provision, controversial provision of this law.
The White House also has a big stake in everything that happens here, the immigration law and the political blowback from it.
The judge seemed to buy most of the arguments that the federal government had put, and they were really...
What you're hearing are the vermin in the media who people hate. The vermin in the media who have destroyed America and have stolen our vote. Now, today, a red diaper dopa vapey lawyer appointed by Bill Clinton, it just shows you how much damage one man can do. He destroyed the morality of the nation, and now he's destroying the legality of our immigration laws. He's a gift that keeps on giving, that old Bill Clinton. One of his filthy red diaper dopa baby judges named Susan Bolton has today said drop dead to the people of Arizona, in fact, to the people of America, because this was a test case. And this red diaper dopa baby lawyer said, your vote means nothing to me. The men who have died to create the freedoms of this nation mean nothing to me. The very courts mean nothing to me. I am the law. You are nothing but peons. Drop dead. I'm in favor of the drug dealers. I'm in favor of the human traffickers. I'm in favor of those decimating the hospitals and schools, and you can go to hell because I answer to them, I don't answer to you. That's my opinion. If you find it to be a little too harsh, it's too damn bad, because that's the reality that most people are feeling. Now, that is the red diaper dopa baby lawyer, Susan Bolton, appointed by Bill Clinton on the recommendation of Republican Senator John Kyle. And she today said the Arizona law will not be made law. She issued a preliminary injunction. She danced to the tune of the illegal aliens in the ACLU, because as you well know, the ACLU is a foreign organization in the sense that they answer only to foreign dollars. The ACLU is a criminal organization functioning under the RICO Act. And if we had a legitimate government, the ACLU would be investigated under RICO statutes. They would no doubt be found guilty of racketeering, the organization be closed down and their assets seized. But we don't have a government that's in favor of democracy. We don't have a government in favor of the people. Now, here we are sitting here today talking about this. Here is a letter from a Savage friend who lives in Phoenix. He will remain anonymous. And then I'll ask you this question while I'm reading this letter. How do you feel right now knowing that a single judge appointed by Bill Clinton has nullified the votes of the entire state of Arizona? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The letter is, I'm sure you heard already, but here in Arizona, we're so disappointed in this decision that I can't even get to tell you how bad the reaction on the streets is. He says the illegals are dancing in the streets because the citizens are once again derailed by one rotten judge. A police officer is now told he cannot even ask if you are here illegally, even while you are caught committing a crime. He said that is what we wanted. We wanted them to be asked their immigration status in the midst of committing and being arrested for a crime. He says we could care less about the gardeners and the hardworking illegals. Michael, we wanted to stop the crime that has gripped our city, the drugs and human trafficking. Each girl that is sold into sexual slavery today could thank Obama and his judge Susan Bolton. Every new heroin addict today has Obama and company to thank. Yes, they shouldn't be taking drugs, but if the drugs weren't available, there would be less users. But what about that little girl today who is sitting in a 125-degree drop house waiting to have her body sold for $20? This judge is as guilty of peddling her body as the smugglers in my book. Michael, when will it end? Our elected officials pass a law the people demanded, the governor signs it, and a judge silences the will and voice of the people. What is the sense in speaking up when a judge can shut you up with the stroke of her pen? As of last night, some Phoenix cops went public, and they said they would not enforce the law if it was not struck down. If I were mayor, I would have fired every one of them. Those cops are paid to uphold and enforce the law, and they refuse to do their job? Throw them out. Michael, we have anarchy. People do what they want, break whatever laws they wish, and judges allow them to do so. It is insane, Michael. Trust me, it is really hot here this summer. Unusually humid, making it worse. People are angry and losing patience, and my fear is we're going to see violence. I don't want it, nor wish it, and I pray each day it will not happen. But we are at the boiling point here in Arizona. Something is going to give. I can feel it in my bones, Anonymous. Now, I want to just say something to my listeners across America. You know that you've lost your republic. You knew it a long time ago, but you knew it most particularly when the imposter was shuffled into the White House and kept hiring one Marxist after another without any congressional oversight. You knew it when him and the good friend of his, Nancy Pelosi, pushed through the health care bill, knowing it would bankrupt America simply to pay off their friends with untold riches. Untold riches. But now you wake up and you find out that your vote doesn't even matter. That the illegals actually have more power than you do. That the illegals actually have more lobbying power than you do. That the president has actually gone to bat for non-citizens over the citizens. And I will tell you what this government wants you to do. Obama, Rahm Emanuel, and that other character from the streets whose name I forget, Axelrod, the other Marxist communist, lifetime red diaper doper babies, all of them, they want you to commit an act of violence. They want you to lose your cool. They want you to commit some violence so that they can declare martial law, so they can erase you from the map. They can erase the semblance of democracy that we have left. I implore you to not fall for the trap of Obama and company. I implore you to not revert to any violence, although you may be feeling it. Now, I'm directing this message to a very small group of people who may be listening to this show. I am on record telling you that that would be a disaster. Put aside the ethics or the morality of it. Just understand that strategically that's what Obama, Axelrod, and Rahm Emanuel would like you to do. I'd like to hear from you on the Savage Nation right now as to what you feel knowing that a red diaper doper baby lawyer appointed by none other than Bill Clinton, who said that oral sex is not sex and debased and demoralized an entire generation of young women from here to Ireland, this lawyer should be deported for what she did, is my opinion. This lawyer should be first disbarred, then this lawyer should be thrown out of the country. But it'll never happen. It'll never happen. They'll throw you out of the country, they'll throw me out of the country, and they will dance in the streets when the illegals are here by the tens of millions. You know why? Because they want peons. Don't you understand that yet? Don't you understand how the liberal mind works? They're not good people. They love uneducated illegal immigrants that they can act like the pashas to. They love being the plantation master to the illegal aliens that they can patronize and say, I'm the good one, and those right-wingers are the bad ones. You don't understand how the liberal mind works? Well, I do. I grew up around them. I ran from them. They were the plague of humanity. I'll be right back before I say what I really mean. So you wake up one morning and you find out that all of the lies that you've been fed since childhood, that the ballot box is sacred, that men have died in order to give you freedom, and the most important freedom of all is the freedom to vote, and that if you don't vote, you're abrogating your citizenship, and blah, blah, blah. And so the people of the state of Arizona, just as we did, by the way, in California many years ago, we voted for Prop 187, which would have denied schooling and medical care for the children of illegal aliens. We voted for it. And one stinking, rotten ACLU judge, I think I still remember her name. I don't remember her name. Said drop dead to 6 million people in the state of California. As a result, we are now bankrupt today. The state is bankrupt primarily because the illegal aliens have sucked us dry like locusts. You know, you are lied to on such a regular basis that you don't even understand what's going on. Illegal immigrants don't pay federal income taxes. And those who do pay federal income taxes, okay, get the money back when they file tax returns. Many illegals are also claiming tax credits, which result in payments from the U.S. Treasury. Criminal aliens account for over 29% of prisoners in Federal Bureau of Prisons facilities. Let's stop at that figure again. Criminal aliens account for over 29% of prisoners in Federal Bureau of Prisoners prison facilities, and they compose a higher share of all federal prison inmates. Now, let's pause at that. Do you have any idea what that costs? With an estimated cost of, what, $50,000, $60,000 a prisoner? Do you know how much this is costing us? Do you have any idea what the cost of illegal immigration is? A new study was done about a month ago. Illegals cost U.S. taxpayers about $113 billion a year at the federal, state, and local level. About $84 billion are absorbed by state and local governments. They're all bankrupt. So like locusts who have come across the border, and I'm sorry to put it in those terms, but there are costs. There are social costs. Do you understand there are social costs to social actions? Well, the social cost of turning the other way and turning the other cheek to illegal aliens coming into this country and breaking our laws are such that we have a broken society. So you have one state that says enough is enough. We can't take the gangs. We can't take the shooting of the police. They're killing our cops. They're overrunning the ranches. Arizona had to give up a good piece of a national park because of the drug dealing. And the federal government takes the side of the foreign invaders? Do you have any idea what you're seeing in front of your eyes? So I'm asking you, how do you feel today when you wake up and realize you've lost America under Obama? This tells you clearly that your vote has no meaning whatsoever. None whatsoever. Your vote has no meaning. It's meaningless. They have said to you, drop dead, don't even bother to vote. But I'll tell you whose vote they want. They want the illegal aliens' vote, don't they? That's who they want to vote. They want the... Now, I've made this prediction before, and I'll make it again on this show right now, before it's copied tomorrow by someone else. I'll say it again and again and again. Obama's greatest dream is to eliminate term limits for the presidency, which were only enacted, by the way, after FDR had served 3.5 terms before he died of polio for age 12, 14 years. He would have been a president for 50 years if there were no term limits put in after that. So after that term limit said you could only be president for 2 terms, 4, 4, 8. 8 years. That should be enough for anyone, right? Well, not to a man like Obama. Obama is a young man. He's a healthy man, and we wish him a long life. Obama would like to be president for life because he has such faith in his vision. And considering he spends about half of his time on the golf course, when you think about it, to him, 4 years is really only like 2 years. And so to him, 8 years would be only like 4 years. So in his mind, another 8 years would only be the equivalent of an 8-year term because he spends half of it on the golf course, if you understand. Sal in New York, WOR, how do you feel today?
How you doing, Michael? I'm very annoyed at what's going on. I was being facetious.
All right, so you feel upset because you don't like the idea that one judge can wipe out the votes of millions of people who said no to the illegals. Is that it?
All right, next person.
Let's go across the country. Let's go to San Diego. We have one from Arizona. Let's go to Arizona. Bruno in Arizona, how do you feel today? Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm going to tell you, I believe this from the tip of my head to the bottom of my shoes, that this was cut and dried. I live out here in Kingman, Arizona, and I can't elaborate anymore on what you've already said on that. But I believe that she's going to be appointed one of the appointments for the next Supreme Court position. You can guarantee that, because Beta Ginsburg, you know, she's not going to hang on her much longer as far as being in that position. I really believe that.
Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is hanging on by a hair. Yeah.
And
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, was a former chief counsel for the ACLU. You know that, don't you?
I know that completely.
And she never should have been admitted to the Supreme Court. She is single-handedly taking a wrecking ball to the jurisprudence of this country. She has tried to introduce foreign law at every turn. But let's put Ruth Bader Ginsburg aside. This one is Ruth Bader Ginsburg Jr. This is Ruth Bader Ginsburg Jr. It's the ACLU has their handprints all over this one, Bruno. You know that.
I got a buddy of mine who's a sheriff deputy, Maricopa County. I'm not going to give his name, of course. But he was telling me that they were busting these people in. They're from all kinds of states, the Obama bots and the whole nine yards on the buses stuff. And one other quick thing, John Kyle is just a mirror of McCain. I'm going to tell you, I've known that for
years. Is John Kyle another rhino?
Oh, yeah.
Republican in name? Well, you say Republican in name only. That doesn't mean anything because Republican as a name means liberal. It doesn't mean conservative. It used to mean conservative.
And a conservative.
Thank you. By the way, coming up at the turn of the hour is Cochise County Sheriff Larry Deaver. He is one of the individuals who knows more about this than you would imagine. San Diego, Steve, quickly, what's on your mind?
Michael, I am so disgusted with everyone from our president to this judge, who I don't even care to even know her name, to everyone else that's fighting this, that I'm almost to a point, well, not almost, I am, where I say, why don't we just give them Phoenix and Tucson and Arizona and let them bring the crime south of the border, which they've already done to some degree, let them bring the head-chopping-off drug cartel murderers into our country and let them have it, and we'll use it as a fishbowl for the rest of the 49 states in America that don't want what we're about to get.
All right, coming up is the sheriff, as I said to you. I just got an article, just came out in the Wall Street Journal. They finally published the article on Michael Savage, which will post momentarily on michaelsavage.com. I haven't read it. Savage Attacks on Diverse Foes by Stu Wu from the Wall Street Journal. I don't know if it's a good or a bad article. I haven't any idea how you're going to, you know, perceive it. It's an interesting article. And I don't know if it's good or bad. Would you like to hear it? I'll read it to you when I come back. I'll read it cold and give you my reaction, sentence by sentence, to the new Wall Street Journal article about yours truly, and we'll talk about the Arizona upset.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The big story today, of course, is that one single judge, a red diaper dopa baby judge, a liberal appointed by Bill Clinton, has said drop dead to all the citizens of the state of Arizona. Joining us right now is Sheriff Larry Deaver, who is serving his fourth term as sheriff of Cochise County, a county, by the way, bigger than Rhode Island and Connecticut combined, and it shares its entire southern border with Mexico. Few people understand the toll that the violence and the lawlessness that illegal immigration and its cousins, human and drug smuggling, take on this nation better than Sheriff Deaver. Sheriff, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks for inviting me in.
Well, what can I say? How do you feel today? I mean, I know how you feel today. I can imagine how you feel today, but you're actually on the front line, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, and as far as the judge's ruling, you know, there are some aspects of it that could have been worse, I suppose, but I'm looking at this as a big picture, Michael, frankly, and that is President Obama and Eric Holder did us a big favor when they sued marijuana Arizona along with the ACLU in that they've elevated this conversation and brought attention to it that otherwise wouldn't have happened. And we need to take advantage of that. And the reason I'm fully engaged in this fight and didn't ask to be dismissed, in fact, hired a law firm to carry the fight to the feds as well as the ACLU is because of that. It gives us an opportunity to talk about what you just said, the travesties, the danger, the peril on the border, and how that affects and impacts the rest of the nation. And for your listeners, because we're not going to get everything in, I'd like to say today, if they would go to www.bordersheriffs.com,
Is that bordersheriffs.com?
That's correct.
And can they make a donation to that legal fund through that?
They can do that. The Legacy Foundation out of Iowa is taking this on as well, and it's a nonprofit. And you know, letters of support, donations, but more than that, even there's a stuff in there that help better defines exactly how we view the situation and how we view what needs to happen.
Well, look, we know that illegal immigration is a mixed bag. We know that many of those folks come here and they do the hard work that many people will not do. Let's be clear, we all know that. But we're talking about the other side of illegal immigration. That's the side that you see, that you police. We're talking about the human smuggling, the prostitution, the drug dealing, and the drunk driving. I can go down the list. You're the one who has to clean up the mess, not the fine folks in the newspapers who write the newspapers. How in the world can you do your job if you have these rats in the ACLU looking over your shoulder every second?
Well, it's not fun, that's for sure. You know, 17% of the people Border Patrol catch, and half of those that are caught every year come through the southern Arizona border through my county and two neighboring counties. 17% of those caught have serious criminal records already in this country. And that means they've been caught, convicted, deported, and now they've come back to carry on. What we don't know is how many of the people across have serious criminal records in their own countries. There's no way to access that. But what we do know, because it's manifest every day in the activity and the crimes we investigate, my good friend Robert Prince, a rancher, was murdered recently down here. But we do know there are a lot of bad people associated with this.
Well, Sheriff, what about the report we got nationally that a portion of a national forest was closed off because drug gangs have taken over a piece of a federal national forest? Is that true?
Well, it's not closed, but warning signs posted. And one of those is as far north as 70 miles from the border. A significant drug smuggling corridor from the border clear up through the border counties and into neighboring counties. But if you go in, you go to recreate in any of our forest lands down here in Cochise County, you'll meet a sign on the road that says, caution, drug smuggling and human alien smuggling may be encountered here, basically saying it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here, Sheriff? The judge has just said that you can't do your job, meaning let's clear the air. The law said if a man or a woman is stopped committing a crime by an officer of the law, at that point of contact, the officer would have the right to ask them whether they're here illegally. So as of right now, you cannot ask that question. Why is that of such interest to the liberals? Why do they not want you to ask if they're here illegally? How in the world would that hurt them?
Well, you know, there's all they politicize this in a very serious and a very dangerous situation, dangerous not only to the border but the entire nation. And for us to not be able to identify and determine who is coming into this country, give us an indication what their intentions might be, is totally unconscionable. I'm telling you this, the racial profile group has totally distorted what goes on in actuality and practicality. When a police officer, a sheriff's deputy, encounters someone, about the last thing they discover is his or her nationality. There's always triggering events, things that lead up to that. Unless, of course, you're a backpacker with 20 guys walking across one of the ranch lands down the desert, that's a pretty good clue something's going on. But
yeah.
It's the normal police-citizen encounter or non-citizen.
Sheriff, what can you do now? In other words, what part of the law did the judge say is permissible in her majestic opinion?
Well, frankly, in my environment landscape I work in, it doesn't make any difference. We're going to continue doing what we've been doing for 34 years I've been in this business. And that is, when we encounter illegal aliens, we discover believe that that's the case, we turn them over to Border Patrol and they deal with them. And
I see. So in essence, nothing's going to change from your point of view.
Well, not for me, but it's different when you get away from the border into the interior of the state where you don't have those Border Patrol resources that you can refer to.
I see what you mean, because you are a border county within the state. You have that resource to turn them over to, while those, let's say, inland in Phoenix don't have such a such an opportunity.
Well, they don't have. They have ICE is responsible for detention deportation in the interior of the country, and they don't have the number of agents that Border Patrol. I have 1,300 Border Patrol agents in my county, and they're still mm-hmm. coming across the border in droves. So, but when my deputies do encounter them, I only have 86 deputies to cover 6,300 square miles. 24/7. But when we encounter illegals, and if Border Patrol can't come get them, we load them in jail vans and take them to them.
Sheriff Larry Deaver, how can the people help again? Give us that website where they can go and learn more about the situation and make a donation. What is it again?
www.bordersheriffs.com.
Sheriff Deaver, keep up the fight. We need you. Thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation. It is 41 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I want to go back to you. You, the American people, whether you're in Arizona, New York, Chicago, Florida, Santa Maria, it doesn't matter to me. How do you feel today knowing that one judge has overridden the votes of millions of people in the state of Arizona as a result of a lawsuit by the foreign organization, the ACLU, an organization that I believe in my heart could be broken up under RICO statutes if we had a legitimate government interested in defending the American people. Tony in New York on WOR, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that it feels as though the power and control of our government has been handed to a foreign power whose intention it is to destroy us from the inside out.
Well, it has. The ACLU is a foreign organization. It doesn't matter whether it's registered in America to do its business. If it's representing foreign governments and their citizens against the wishes of the people, does that not make them a foreign entity?
Absolutely. It's exactly how it feels. We have no power. It's out of our hands. And I try to tell my friends that the game is over. And nobody wants to believe me. They still think that something is going to change. But I truly believe that the power has been taken out of our hands, maybe for good.
Well, I don't know about for good. All right, thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Would you like me to continue talking about this right now, or would you like me to read to you from the Wall Street Journal article that came out minutes ago that features Michael Savage? I mean, I'll read parts of it. You know what? I'm not even going to read it. It's just another article by another reporter. It's not that important. How's that? Doesn't even matter to me. Okay, whatever they wanted to say before they interviewed me, they said. They dredged up old hatred against me and made it look like it was fresh. And then they painted a portrait of me that's somewhat accurate and somewhat not accurate. So what do I care? You know, reporters are the same. Good, bad, and indifferent. They're all no good. That's why people hate the press. That's why people distrust the press. That's why journalists are about as trusted as Nancy Pelosi's housekeeper. Santa Maria, California. Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm pissed off. This is wrong. We've got
you are right. It is wrong. One judge said drop dead to the, millions of people in the state of Arizona who wanted this law to become law. How could we have the tyranny of a single judge overriding all these people? It's a very serious issue. Unfortunately, most people in America don't even understand that they are peons today, that they have no power. Most of the dummies in the street are happy to go about their business, doing whatever they do. They're peons. They're peasants. It doesn't matter how much money they have. They have no power. They're peons. That's all. That's all. Peons. That's all there is. How do you feel about it? How do you, listening to this show, feel about learning this today? That the illegal immigrants have a representative in Obama, Holder, and now this judge. And you the people of America, who overwhelmingly support a curtailment of this plague, have been told that you have no rights in this issue, and they have the rights. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So what do you want to say? I mean, what do you want to say that we haven't heard already 1,000 times? We know that a judge, one red diaper dopa baby judge, has said she's better than 1 million people. Let them eat cake. We're living in a tyranny. That's all. What do you think we meant by activist judge? This is an activist judge. She thinks she's God Almighty, but she's only doing the bidding of Obama and Holder, who also think they're God Almighty, and that the people have no power, and the people should do what they want done. And that right now they deem the interests of Mexico and the interests of the illegal alien lobbies to be more important to them than the interests of the American people themselves. Now, I have no idea in my mind how such intelligent people as Rahm Emanuel and David Axelrod can think this will work for them come November. I mean, let's be clear. What they've done here is bring an issue up to the national consciousness that was not in the national consciousness to any degree. Yes, in states like Arizona, somewhat in New York, maybe in Illinois, the illegal alien problem and the problems associated with illegal aliens were somewhat newsworthy, but not to the extent that they will be now. And every poll that is done ever since the Arizona law was attacked by Obama and Holder, every poll, I don't care who runs the poll, has shown whether it's 63 to 83 to 90% of the people are in favor of the law. That means across the land. Now, if you take out of that list, out of the poll, the illegal aliens themselves who are now included in polls, I love how they do it. We polled 1,013 citizens. Well, those citizens would likely include illegal aliens, according to the pollster. Yeah, you would say, well, let's say 1,013 registered voters. That would be another thing, right? But the fact of the matter is, if you take them out, it's probably over 90% of the American people want something done to crack down on the illegal aliens. This, again, I have to be Solomon-esque here because I'm a human being at the end of the day. I am also the son of an immigrant at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. There's not a day that I don't go to sleep that I myself don't say to myself, now, Michael, think clearly. Your father, your grandfather came over here on a rotten boat, came over on, I don't know, a steamer, whatever, third class, with very little money in his pocket. And through thick and through thin, he opened a tailor shop. And he worked himself up before he died at age 47 of a heart attack from working himself to death and sending money back to the old country to bring in my grandmother and my father and my aunt and uncle. I don't even know how they sent money in those days. My son asked me the other day, he said, well, how did he do it? How'd they send money to Russia in those? I said, I don't know. There was no Western Union in 1915 or whatever. I said, I don't really know. He got out before the Russian Revolution, my grandfather. He saw it was coming, and he worked his way up. And he became a tailor, not a lowly tailor in the sense of doing, cuffs. He made suits. He made custom-to-order suits, which was a high skill, by the way. It still is a very high skill to be able to make an entire suit of clothing. But I have one picture, one faded little picture of him that I keep in my bureau. I call Sam the astronaut of my family because I can't imagine what it took for that man to leave Russia, considering what was going on there, and come to this country. So when every time I see a gardener or I see a cook or a line cook or a dishwasher, believe me, I see my grandfather. I don't see an enemy. I don't see an alien. So you have to understand where I'm coming from. Now, having said all of that, we still need laws in the country to monitor the numbers of immigrants, the types of immigrants, to rule out the sick. If they have a communicable disease, as many of them do, there are epidemics now, for example, of whooping cough. That's right. Your good liberal lying friends in the health department who are all part of this mafia, this health mafia in the country, the mafia at the CDC, the mafia at the NIH, all the same. They see no evil and they speak no evil when it comes to illegal aliens. The health mafia will not tell you that we have several diseases now reintroduced into this country that had been completely eliminated. Because when my grandfather Sam came here, he had to go through a health screening at Ellis Island. They looked at the man. And if you were sick, they either put you into quarantine or sent you home. Remember the movie The Godfather? Remember little Vito Corleone? He was sick and they put him in quarantine for months. Today there's no quarantine. The quarantine is your local emergency room. That's the quarantine. The quarantine is your little school room where your daughter goes. They put them into a schoolroom with your children. They don't care if your child gets sick. The important thing is that the liberal feels good about expanding social services to non-citizens. And so therefore, I see the whole picture. It's very difficult to see the picture globally and then to act and come up with an opinion that's rational. And so my rational conclusion is borders, language, and culture. It has been ever since I began in radio. I began with borders, language, and culture. I said, that's how you define a nation. Obama said a nation's not defined by its borders nor by its blood. But what the hell is it defined by? The inklings of a mind? What is a nation defined by? George Soros's bank accounts? Tell me what a nation is not defined by, if not its borders, its language, and its culture. What is it defined by? Well, I guess it's now defined by what red diaper doper babies want it to be. And what is a red diaper doper baby, many of you ask? Those are children raised in left-wing or outright socialist communist households, primarily in the sewers of New York 30, 40, 50 years ago. And in those sewers of New York, where communism was a watchword, the children were told America is no good. The children were told to hate America. The children were told to respect the international government, the Internationale of the ex-Soviet Union. The children were even sent in some cases to camps in the Pocono Mountains and elsewhere where communists ran the camps, and they were trained to despise the nationalism of America. And they were called red diaper babies. I didn't invent that phrase. They were known as red diaper babies. They even went to schools in the Greenwich Village, like the Red Little Red Schoolhouse, where they openly and proudly taught that the businessman was corrupt and evil and the workers of the world unite, all that rubbish. Okay. Then what happened was the 60s came along, and the white communist child started heavily using tetrahydrocannabinol. And the use of marijuana combined with the social doctrines of communism has led to a scourge that we've never seen in this country. A mental breakdown caused by the red diaper dopa baby. And you have to understand that they don't even understand that they're sick. That the second nature of their anti-Americanism is considered a badge of honor to them.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. A nation trying to survive. A nation trying to assert its rights. A nation trying to regain its sovereignty when we have an outright international socialist, if not a Marxist revolutionary in the White House. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today we're talking about the true cost of the outright Marxist revolutionary in the White House and his henchmen, the Attorney General Eric Holder, who have today won a partial victory against the legitimate citizens of the state of Arizona, in this case speaking for the people of the United States of America, in that they used a stooge judge put in by Bill Clinton many years ago, a red diaper dopa baby judge, Susan Bolton, who has blocked the Arizona law. And so we the people today are saying, what do we do now? Well, there are many things that can be done now. One is the state of Arizona can go about doing its business and arrest people committing crimes. And when they find out in the course of the process of arresting them that they're not citizens, turn them over to the Border Patrol, as they're going to do, as you heard in the last hour, on the southern border, if the county is on the southern border. If they're in Phoenix, they're supposed to turn them over to ICE. But as you well know, ICE today is an organization that seems to answer only to the illegal alien, not to the citizen. One thing you should know, although it's a stunning blow, you should take heart in knowing that America finally knows who Obama's base really is. We've come to understand that Obama and his base consist of a numerous group of factions, But the dominant element, well, one of the building blocks of his base, I would say fairly, would now have to be seen to be the illegal aliens who have put so many of these quasi politicians in power across the land. You know how many years here in California we would talk on the air about buses of illegals being driven to the polls? This is going back 10 years now, more. Driven to the polls to vote, to put in people like Boxer, to put in people like Feinstein, to put in one radical liberal senator after another, one radical liberal congressperson after another. You know, you got to ask yourself, a state supposed to have two senators. The thought was you'd have one for one group of people and one representing the other point of view. How is it that a state as large and diverse as California could have two radical leftists in the Senate? How is it that a state as large and diverse as New York State, I'm taking the two coasts now, could have two radical left-wing senators, Hillary Clinton and Charles Schumer? You would say, all right, you'd figure in a city like New York, it's a very liberal city, out of touch with the rest of America, and proudly so. Well, but there's another population in the state, the whole upstate, can't all think the way people do in Greenwich Village, or the East Village, or the Upper East Side, or the Upper West Side. There's a whole other part of the state. The normal people, the sane people, those in the Corn Belt as opposed to the Porn Belt. And so you have two states with representatives who represent the Porn Belt rather than the Corn Belt. And that's because something's wrong with the voting. In other words, they've been stealing elections for years in this country, and there's nothing new under the sun. And so today we found out finally that the federal government has put their money, their cards on the table, and they said, we want more illegal aliens to vote. We want more illegal aliens to bring in drugs. We want more illegal aliens to bring in human smuggling. Although we talk against trafficking in humans, we don't really mean it. We like all of the safe houses in Arizona where they have little girls 14 years old about to be sold into prostitution for $25. We want that. We don't want those mean fascist cops to go in there with their guns and break up these houses of prostitution where little Mexican girls have been smuggled across the border. We want those illegal aliens to bring in the girls. We want the illegal aliens to bring in the heroin and the marijuana. We want it, senor. And no matter what you say, you're not going to stop us because there's too much money at stake. That's how we stay in business. Now, that's one way to look at it. It may not be the entire way, and it may not be the correct way, and it certainly may not be the only way. But I can guarantee you as I speak to you, a high percentage of Americans think that way today. So don't blame me for expressing what most of you, or excuse me, a certain portion of you, are immediately thinking as to why the president would back illegal aliens who are not even citizens as opposed to the citizens who vote in the election. So therefore, the question is, what do we do now? Well, the answer is you can do nothing. You're a powerless peon. Your job is to work and pay taxes to support the government. Your job is to work and pay taxes so Bonnie Frank can go to Fire Island. Your job is to work and pay taxes so Nancy Pelosi can have billion-dollar road projects for her friends in San Francisco and across the landscape of California. Your job is to make sure that those cronies of the politicians have all the grease that they need to keep operating. And then we come down to the human level. How does it really affect you? Let's say you don't live in Arizona. What does this really matter to you? Well, let's talk about it. In San Francisco, it's a sanctuary city. What that means is illegal aliens are told that if they're a drug dealer or a murderer, come to our city, we want you. And consequently, people are being murdered. Drug dealers are not being stopped. And 2 years ago, there was a woman who lost a husband and two sons. They were driving on the wrong street at the wrong time, and an illegal alien punk came out of the woodwork and shot all three of her family members to death, all because it was a sanctuary city. I had her on the show. I gave her money out of my own pocket. It wasn't a lot, I think $5,000. I don't know what it was. But I put my money where my mouth was because I felt bad for her. She lost virtually everything in her life. The illegal alien, by the way, is still alive, still being represented by the ACLU, still has liberal girls with law degrees from Berkeley and other denizens of horrendous mentality going to ask him how he feels in prison and seeing if he's getting his ethnic meals and to see if his human rights are not being violated. All the while he sneers at them knowing that they're fools. So it does affect you on a daily basis, my friend. Oh, yes, senor, it affects you very much. Now, we're not talking about the poor people who come here to work hard like my grandfather. Did I told you about my grandfather? And I'll tell it to you again. I don't see people of other cultures as my enemy. Even though they see me as their enemy, that's another story. I do get mad when I watch a sporting event and I see the Mexican flags waved. I get upset when I pass a playground here in California and I see a young father and mother with their children playing and the children are counting uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve, diez. And daddy says to them in Spanish, very good, son. And mommy says to them in Spanish, very good, daughter. I say something is wrong with this picture because they don't want to become Americans. They don't want to assimilate the way my father taught me I must. My father said to me, this is a great country with a lot of problems, but you have unlimited opportunity. You have a clear runway ahead of you. You can do anything you want with your life. You could be anything you want to be in America. But the first thing is you better get a great education. You better learn how to speak English. And you better do well in school. You say, I won't hate you if you don't do well in school, but you're not going to make anything of yourself. You'll wind up doing something you don't want to do. You won't make a lot of money. You're going to have no social respect. Basically, you're not going to be a very happy person. That's what I was told, whether it was in direct words or indirect words. Every second of my life, it was reinforced by my family, by my family's friends, all of whom were immigrants, one way or another, not too long before. They respected work and the worker, and they really looked up to children who excelled in school. Now, I was not a particularly good student. I don't want to tell you any more about my life story. I struggled in school. I had a lot of trouble memorizing gibberish. It made no sense to me. I could remember what I thought was interesting and important. It stuck with me the rest of my life. If a teacher in school got up, as I remember to this day, and gave a speech from Shakespeare, as my principal once did, Lewis Shooker, I think was his name. I remember he punched the kid in the nose who had insulted a teacher. He went up and punched him right in the nose. The kid was a troublemaker. And the kid tried to get smart with the principal. He gave him a bat right in the nose and threw the kid out of school. We didn't have much trouble in those schools in those days. No drug dealing, no gangs. Because the teachers, many of those teachers were ex-World War II veterans who came back and taught. It wasn't filled with the perverts and deviants of today looking to get them into bed. They were men. They were real men of the early 50s. They even smoked, by the way. I think they smoked in the classroom during the breaks. And nobody called the nanny police. So as they say, it was a different age. But I wasn't a natural student. But when Shooker gave a speech, and I remember I was falling asleep in the assembly, who knows what he was talking about? It was boring. I actually hated school. I stayed in school forever, even though I hated it, because I knew I had to. And I also wanted to prove something. So I got two master's degrees. I got a great PhD. I've written 25 books. But what I'm saying to you is I forced myself to do all of this. It wasn't easy. I had to fight with myself to do it. It never came easy to me. That's the point I'm making. Nothing I have done in my life has come easy. Nothing has come easily to me. I had to struggle for everything, and I'm glad I was taught to struggle. Can you say the same for the illegal aliens who are here today? Yo, we see the hard workers. No one works like them. The workers, nobody works better than the people from Mexico. Nobody works as hard as the people from Mexico. You ask anybody in the construction business, you ask anybody in the restaurant business, their businesses would fold if they didn't have the Mexican worker. Everybody knows these people do backbreaking work in a way nobody could do. I'm not a fool. I have eyes. I can see. But we are talking about the whole picture of illegal immigration. We are talking about the wife that is home having many children who may not be working. We are talking about the social services. We are talking about the costs of incarceration, education, medication, and legal. And nobody wants to talk about it. So the people of Arizona said, they have cut through our state. They're destroying it. We got to put a stop to it. So please, at least let the police, when they arrest someone for doing a crime, they didn't say go out and look for people and arrest them. They weren't going to go and arrest kitchen workers and gardeners. If you stop a guy who's committing a crime and you say, now, are you here? Show me your paper. Then you're going to be deported. Now, why would the government say you can't do that? You have to ask yourself and put two and two together. Well, I think the American people have come to understand who Obama is, which is why he has such abysmal ratings. Congress's ratings, 11%. Latest Gallup poll, the lowest ratings since ratings were begun in 1970 by the polling company, I think Gallup. The lowest ratings ever under the Nancy Pelosi regime. The lowest ratings in history under the Obama regime. Why? Why do the people have such contempt for journalists who come in second only to politicians? Why? Why are talk radio hosts not even, why in that poll did they not ask who do you respect the most and put in the list? They put in, by the way, people with guns who protect us came out the highest in the list. Did you know that? Soldiers were the most highly respected. The police were the next most highly respected. Did you know that? You didn't know any of this. The very people that the vermin in the ACLU hate and fight every day are the people respected most by the American people. Now, I could go a few steps further than where I'm not going to do any of it. I am not a revolutionary. I'm a talk show host. There has been a revolution. The communists have won. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Again, I want to take a second to thank all of you who have contributed to the Savage Legal Fund on behalf of my struggle to have my name removed from a list of murderers and terrorists. I realize I'm not being helped by my own government. They have too much time. They don't have enough time to help me. They're helping illegal aliens, some of whom are drug dealers and murderers. And so I understand that the people themselves have to help me, and I want to thank you for that very, very much. Let's go to the callers. Peter on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
This is in reference to your story.
Sorry, Kevin in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm a retired law enforcement officer in your old stomping grounds, the Bronx. And I'm really outraged by this decision in Arizona by a federal judge who wants to usurp constitutional authority.
That's right. She's a criminal, in essence. In essence, the judge is a criminal. I mean, you want to add it up? Men died for the sanctity of the ballot box. So if someone interferes with a ballot box and says you can't vote or your vote is nullified, that's tampering. She's a criminal. In the same country, she'd be arrested. What do you want me to say here? The judge is a criminal who should be put in jail. In the same country, any judge who said, you know what, you may have voted, but drop dead, I'm bigger than you, your vote doesn't count. That's a criminal. What if you went to a polling booth in November to vote against Obama or even for Obama, and standing at the polling booth was a criminal gang that said, you cannot vote. I'm not going to let you vote because I don't trust you. You'd say, well, they're criminals. So now let's carry the next step. You vote, and then your vote's thrown in the gutter. You vote, but your vote's thrown in the sewer. Well, that's a criminal act. The judge just said your vote is meaningless. Because I answer to the ACLU, I answer to the Mexican government, I answer to the Restaurant Association of America, I answer to the agribusinesses who need the illegal alien farmer, I answer to the meat packers in Iowa. I don't answer to you, I answer to them. And they run the country, not you. They put me in office to make sure that you, the peons, continue to work, pay taxes, watch internet pornography, and go to Little League games. That's all you're good for. And when you have a little energy left, you can barbecue or have a fire at night and get drunk and fall asleep in a stupor because you're so miserable. So you go to work the next day and face the horrors of your life and think you're free because you bought a new Toyota. And when you're really free, you can, you get the picture. You get the picture. Coming up next on the Savage Nation will be Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I'm sure you all know of the sheriff, and I'm sure he'll have certain things to tell you that you should know. 1-800-449-8255. I think that there's actually a silver lining to this. I think the American people are seeing clearly that Obama is sort of a president for others than Americans. Let's put it to you that way. The kowtowing to the Saudis, the international tour, the golfing, the bending over, you know, the whole thing. And now with a thing like this taking the side of illegals, the prognosis for the liberal Democrats is terminal. They're finished. I believe we're going to see a right-wing government in this country in your lifetime.
Savage.
Well, you all know the headline. A radical judge appointed by Bill Clinton, a red diaper dopa baby named Susan Bolton, has said to Arizona, drop dead. And all the law required was that police officers determine the immigration status of a person detained or arrested. Joining us right now is a man I really don't have to introduce to you because he stood on the front lines virtually alone for years, taking the brickbats. His name is Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Sheriff, thank you for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, great hearing from you.
It's great hearing from you. You're the guy who has to put up with this. Sheriff, in reality, will this change your day-to-day duties and actions?
No, we're going to go out tomorrow on another crime suppression operation. We've been enforcing the federal and state laws, and we're going to continue to do it. You know, I like every law. Every new law I accept, but this one has to be ironed out by the appellate courts. But in the meantime, we're still going to do our job.
So it doesn't really affect you in a day-to-day, but are you allowed to ask them? Let's say you arrest somebody for dealing drugs in a known gang. You guys know who these dealers are. You're still not allowed to say to them, are you a citizen, and then turn them over to the Border Patrol?
Yeah, we're going to, never mind drugs, even a crack windshield we come across, we're going to ask them, and we're going to arrest them if we have to, or turn them over to ICE. We've been doing it. 40,000 we have come across in the last 3 years.
No, I know you've been doing it, but the law said you would have a right to determine the immigration status by saying, are you a citizen? So you're saying it's a moot point? Is that what you're saying, Sheriff?
Yeah, we're still going to ask them in the pursuant to our duties. Nothing changes. The only thing
What do you mean you're still going to ask them? But aren't you afraid that the nanny in a black robe is going to come down and say, we're going to arrest you for asking them that? Aren't you afraid of the nanny with a gavel?
No, we've been enforcing other state laws, so I'm very comfortable what we're doing. I'm not worried about it.
Sheriff, come on. Are you saying that basically all of this is nothing but political hot air one way and the other?
Well, this is very controversial. It's an election year. You know, where was everybody last year, a couple years ago? I've been fighting this battle by myself. I didn't see anybody standing next to me trying to support me.
No, you haven't. I understand that. But the law was passed because most citizens in your state have had enough of the problems. And they wanted more of the bad ones caught and deported, right?
Yes, and we're still going to keep doing our job. Let's see what the appellate court says. But in the meantime, I'm going to do my crime suppression tomorrow. And we're still going to lock up violators and illegal aliens. So nothing's going to change.
But a friend of mine sent me an email from Arizona where he says the illegals are dancing in the streets because the police can't determine immigration status.
They may be dancing in the streets now, but they may not be dancing in the streets when the sheriff goes out there tomorrow to arrest illegal aliens.
So the Arizona law being blocked by the red diaper dopa baby judge doesn't faze Joe Arpaio.
No, we're not going to violate her ruling. Like I say, we've been doing this anyway, and we're going to continue to do it. She didn't say in her ruling that you cannot stop people and ask them. She just said you can't lock them up and put them in jail, which means you'd have to turn them over to ICE. That's the only little difference than what we've been doing, but we arrest people on every type of charge you can think of, Michael. If they happen to be illegal, we put them in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way,
the overall law will still take effect tomorrow, but without the provisions that that the people wanted. I mean, the sections that this judge threw out required a police officer to make a reasonable attempt to check the immigration status. You're saying that's irrelevant?
No, that still stands. What she said, you can't arrest them under this new misdemeanor law. You can't put them in jail. That's the part that I like to have been able to do. So it's not as bad as people are making out, but I'm even angry that that part was stayed. That part. And I'm also angry when she said that the government doesn't have the resources, we're going to overload them. What do you mean overload them? The government can't get the resources or at least work with local law enforcement is trying to hinder me when I'm helping them do their job? What about they don't have the resources? I'm sure they can find some money somewhere.
Well, I'm glad to say this, Sheriff Arpaio. The Obama administration and the ACLU did not challenge several provisions of the new law, And some of them are going to make your job a lot easier. For example, it still is. It's going to be a crime now to stop a vehicle in traffic to hire a day laborer. Did you know that it's a new crime now?
Yeah, I know that. We'll have to pursue that part of the law, yeah. So there are some good features in that law, we'll see what happens. So,
Sheriff, it also says that the new law will require state officials to work with the federal government regarding illegal immigrants, whatever the hell that means. It also will allow Arizona residents to file a lawsuit against any agency, official, city, or county for adopting policies that restrict the ability of workers to enforce federal immigration law, whatever that means, to less than the full extent permitted by federal law. What does that mean? We don't know what it means.
Temporary cities that you can't order your cops not to question people.
Oh. So if a rogue city official says to a cop, we don't want you to even enforce the law, so the people could sue that rogue official.
Yeah, so she didn't rule that one out.
That's shocking. I'm shocked that she didn't throw the whole thing out. I wonder what that's all about.
Well, there's a lot of heat going on every side of the issue. The federal government has sued the state. Of course, they're still going after me a year and a half under the Obama administration, saying I racial profile. You know, so I feel very comfortable. We do not. So I feel comfortable with the cops. If they can't get me racial profile, which we don't do, then the cops should not be worried. Not that we do.
Sheriff Arpaio, since you have a minute or so left on the Savage Nation, and since I help police and military on this show, do you have a legal defense fund that you would like people to donate to? Because I have a very, very generous listener base. They like to help the good people. I mean, you can't be doing this on your own funds, I hope.
I fight the battles by just doing my job.
Do you need legal help? You need funds for your legal fund or what?
The what?
Do you need people to make donations to your legal fund?
No, I don't have a legal fund. I'm the legal guy. I go out and take care of business.
No, but you say the government's suing you.
No, they've been investigating me for a year and a half, the Justice Department, for alleged racial profiling. They haven't found anything yet. I presume.
They don't have the resources to stop the trafficking in girls from Mexico for $25 a head. But they have the resources to attack you, Sheriff. Is that it?
Yeah, it's been a year and a half. A lot of resources. 9 investigators.
Oh, I guess all of the smart boys and girls from Harvard, they had nothing to do but to go look underneath your cloak. All right, if the day comes that they try to sue you, the Savage Nation, I can guarantee you'll raise a lot of money for you, Sheriff, because you're one of the men we all respect.
Well, thank you, Michael, and thanks for the great job you are doing for getting the real message out.
Sheriff, do you ever come to San Francisco to see the wonders of this city?
No, I don't know if the chief would invite me. He was in Mesa. I had to raid the city hall in his office, Gascon. So I'm sure that he wouldn't like to see me in San Francisco.
Yeah, but I'm banned in Britain. I'm not inviting you to come have dinner with me in London. I'd invite you to come to have dinner with me in San Francisco any day. We don't even have to tell the police that you're here. Do you have to disclose your immigration status to come to San Francisco, Sheriff?
I doubt it. Not in San Francisco.
You see that? They can't even ask an illegal alien murderer where he's from. So why would they ask a sheriff from Arizona? So you're free to come in for dinner.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a lot of protesters.
They won't even know you're there. I'll take you to places where you'll be very welcome and you'll be held up as a hero, Sheriff. I mean that. Seriously, stay in touch with my producer. Anytime you want to come up here, I'd like to meet a real American hero on the front line, Sheriff.
Come here and come through our tent city.
I don't like the heat, I must tell you. I like the fog.
Okay. Anyway.
All right, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, thank you for being a real stand-up guy and doing the job that most Americans would like to see done by the president himself. Thank you very much, Sheriff.
Thank you very much.
It is 43 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
America is in shock to see that the president and the attorney general in cahoots with the illegitimate ACLU have taken the side of the illegal alien, that is, foreigners who are here illegally, over the concerns of the American people themselves. Now, let's hear what Senator Russell Pierce, who crafted the legislation, has to say. He's a senator, state senator, a Republican from Mesa, Arizona, who said this. He said, "I'm disappointed Judge Bolton doesn't have more respect for the law. The damage to America from illegal immigrants," he said. Pierce repeated his argument, the same one presented by John Buma, the attorney for Governor Brewer, that everything in SB 1070 is about enforcing existing law. The governor said, "I look at this as a bump in the road. This is a temporary injunction saying that the feds don't have to do their job." The governor said she fully expects to appeal this. And the Governor Brewer pointed out that this is only an interim order with the legality of SB 1070 to be determined after a full-blown trial. And she said the judge, while well-informed and very thoughtful, is wrong in concluding the law goes beyond the legal authority of the state. She said, "We feel very confident that the bill is constitutional and is carefully crafted." So this is a political hot potato, as you can understand. And although Obama has won favor with the illegal alien crowd, and of course with his base of radical leftists, what he's done here is alienate the majority of Americans. So if you look at the big picture, what Obama has just done is marginalize himself even further, and he has also diminished the chances for any of his cohorts, meaning the Democrats, to be reelected in November. So look at the big picture. By digging his heels in and showing where his sentiments lie, he has made the case to vote against Democrats in November, not for them. Of course the illegal aliens would like to get to the polls and vote. It's going to be harder for them to do it right now because everyone's watching them. In other words, even in states where illegal immigration wasn't an issue, suddenly people are going to see what I've seen for 10 years in California. Busloads of illegal taken to polls, bust in, they don't even speak English. You know how many times I said I would go to vote, let's say, in California here. I go up to the little old lady in tennis sneakers, the do-gooders. You know the type. You know, the do-gooders. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, incidentally. All the little shaky good do-gooders out there, the gray-haired ladies, nice people, but very dangerous. I'd say to them, "Don't you want to see my driver's license?" They'd say, "Oh, no, we're not allowed to ask for ID." And I would say, "What do you mean you're not allowed to ask for ID? How do you know if I am who I am? How do you know if I'm here legally? How do you know if I'm a citizen?" Well, in every case, they would get very upset and want to have me thrown out of the voting booth. So I was almost banned from voting in my own hometown for asking, "Why don't you want to see my ID?" Because the reason they don't want to see my ID is because they know that they've rigged the system. They rigged the system to make sure that people of the lowest common denominator, like Barbara Boxer, could be reelected over and over and over again. How do you explain the two radical leftists like Boxer and Feinstein get reelected over and over again in California when the state is so diverse? Surely there's a conservative element in the state, yet there's not a conservative senator. Likewise in your state, New York State. You're telling me that Schumer, you're telling me that Big Shoe Schumer from Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, is representative of all the people of the state of New York? You're telling me that the carpetbagger Hillary Clinton actually represented the people of the state of New York? I don't believe it. There's certainly a Republican or conservative element in the state of New York. Where's your representation? Well, you say, "Well, I don't know where it is." The answer is, well, why don't you have a representative? Aha! Now the light is starting to dawn on you. It's not that you didn't vote for a Republican who was a conservative. It's that many people voted who shouldn't have been allowed to vote. Now you understand what's at stake, boys and girls. Now you understand the mysterious actions of the Democrats. Now you understand why Obama would, by sleight of hand, claim that the illegals have rights that they're not entitled to, and that the citizens have no rights whatsoever, rights that they're in fact entitled to. Now, my friends, you understand that the shadows on the wall that they've been showing you are not the actual puppets themselves. You're not even seeing the puppets. You're not even seeing the hands within the puppets. You're only seeing the shadows on the wall of the cave that are reflected by the fire on the puppets on the hand. That, my friend, is why the country has such distaste for Congress under Pelosi and Obama. 11% approval rating? Obama's approval rating in the low 20s? Unheard of. And so the question is, what will happen in November? Everyone's sitting and waiting. You're assuming there's going to be a landslide against Obama and the socialist, Marxist, communism, and they're going to be thrown out and there's going to be a clean sweep and a whole new government put in. I'm not so sure. I'm a realist. I'm not a fantasist. But we'll reserve judgment. We'll see as we get closer exactly what the October surprise will be. I can tell you pretty much, I've said it before, they're going to attack Iran. That usually unifies the people around the president. The commander-in-chief is usually loved when he goes to war in such a definitive manner against such an evil man. And the people will say, you see, at the end of the day, he was more bold than Bush. He had the nerve to do what Bush didn't have the nerve to do. They may even have Osama bin Laden somewhere in a jail cell in Pakistan, for all I know, waiting to deliver him in October so that you can take your mind off the ball game or the internet porn or the Little League for 1 minute, look up and say, well, look what he did. Look at that. He got him. He's not so weak after all. He has friends in the Muslim countries, and look at that. He got him. Well, I think I'll vote for them again, you know. They didn't do such a bad job. And you look at what Bush did with that carrier and mission accomplished. Why, that was all hogwash. So you don't know what they're liable to do. You're dealing with a government. You're not dealing with individuals. Governments are powerful. They're all powerful. They shouldn't be. They're not supposed to be. In fact, our form of government was set up so they would never become as powerful as they become. But take a look at what happens when a government becomes this powerful. You take a look. They can do anything to anybody at any time and make it into something that it isn't. Judge blocks vital parts of Arizona immigration law, and the illegals are dancing in the streets. But Sheriff Joe Arpaio was on the show, and he said he doesn't care. He's going to go about his business tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. He's still going to bust them if they're bad. He doesn't give a damn what the nannies in black robes have to say. His job is to protect the citizens of the state of Arizona. Their job is to protect the criminals of the state of Arizona. That is the judge. The judge's job is to protect the criminals of the state of Arizona. Now you say, how is that possible? How could you make a statement like that? They're just interested in constitutional regularities and making sure that the poor illegals are not picked on, and they're the weak link in the society, and we have to protect the weak and the poor. Tell that to the little girl who was raped by an illegal alien. Tell that to the family who was run down by a drunk illegal alien. Tell that to the people whose families have been decimated by the scourge of drugs. You tell that to the real people, and they'll know who to vote for come November. Believe me, they know who to vote for. The problem is November is a long time away, and it's still got there's still a lot of hot days left. You know, the hot August days are still ahead of us. So anything is liable to happen between now and the election. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. This is a very powerful government. It is a very intelligent government. It is a very, very capable government, and it's a very devious government. They're capable of the dirtiest of tricks. Just ask Andrew Breitbart, and just ask Michael Savage, who was not allowed to go to a Western nation, without one person in this government coming out to defend me. I want you to think about this in context of this Arizona law. Sorry to bring it up. I know you don't want to hear it again. Here is a government that took all of its resources to protect drug dealers, drug smugglers, to protect human smugglers, and to protect every illegal activity known to mankind under the guise of helping the average hardworking illegal immigrant, while they will not devote one letter to defend my right and my honor. And you know what? I'm fighting this alone. Illegitimi non caberundum. Illegitimi non caberundum. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture. Borders, language, culture.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
the judge basically says here that she agrees with the federal government's argument that if Arizona were to carry out this scheme that it came up with in the legislature, this package of laws, that it would, in fact, preempt federal law and cause some additional problems for people who are here legally. What she says is requiring police in Arizona to determine the immigration status of every person who is arrested, I'm quoting from the decision now, burdens lawfully present aliens, that's the legal term for people from outside the country who are not U.S. citizens, because their liberty will be restricted while their status is checked.
The big shock today is that the Clinton administration has put a curse upon America in the form of a district judge named Susan Bolton, a radical liberal, age 58, born in Philadelphia, who has just overridden the desires of an entire state of people. Millions of people have said no to illegal immigrants. This one radical red diaper doper baby judge, Susan Bolton, appointed by Bill Clinton, has said drop dead to the citizens of Arizona. I know more than you. I am stronger than you. I am bigger than you. I am smarter than you. You don't live in America. You live in a tyranny of the radical activist judges. Drop dead. The illegals are here to stay. The drug dealing is here to stay. The human trafficking is here to stay. The decimation of your schools, your courts, and your hospitals is here to stay because I want it to. Illegal immigration, you've been told that they all come here to work. Many do come here to work. Oh, many of them are wonderful people. But you don't hear about the hidden side, the true cost of illegal immigration. Cost U.S. taxpayers, according to the latest study, $113 billion a year. Bulk of the costs, $84 billion, absorbed by the state and local governments. That means the average outlay that illegal aliens cost U.S. taxpayers is an average amount per native-headed household of $1,117. Education for the children of illegal aliens, single largest cost, $52 billion. Federal level, one-third are matched by tax collections from illegal aliens. Most illegal aliens do not pay income taxes. Among those who do, most of the revenue collected are refunded to the illegal aliens when they file tax returns. Many illegals claim tax credits resulting in payments from the U.S. treasuries. California faces a budget deficit of $14 billion. And we are primarily in a deficit because of the illegal aliens. What about the crime? Criminal aliens account for over 29% of prisoners in Federal Bureau of Prisons facilities and a higher share of all federal prison inmates. Over the past 5 years, an average of more than 72,000 aliens have been arrested annually on drug charges alone. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. The federal judge who blocked the key parts of the Arizona law should be impeached immediately. Just got a letter from a friend in Arizona who says, "Dear Michael Savage, here in Arizona, the people are so disappointed that I can't even begin to tell you how bad the reaction on the streets is. The illegals are dancing in the streets as the citizens are once again derailed by one stinking liberal judge. A police officer cannot even ask if you are here illegally if they are caught committing a crime. This is what the people wanted." He said, "We could care less about the hardworking illegals, the gardeners, etc. We wanted to stop the crime that has gripped our city, the drugs and human trafficking. Each girl that is sold into sexual slavery today can thank Obama and his judge, Susan Bolton. Every new heroin addict today has Obama and company to thank. Yes, they should not take drugs, but if the drugs weren't available, there would be less users. But what about that little girl today who was sitting in a 125-degree drop house waiting to have her body sold for $20? This judge is as guilty as the smugglers," he says. "Michael, when will it end? Our elected officials pass a law that the people wanted. The governor signs it, and a judge silences the will and voice of the people. What is the sense in speaking up when a judge can shut you up at the stroke of a pen? As of last night, some Phoenix cops went public and said they would not enforce the law if it was not struck down. I would have fired every one of them. They are paid to uphold and enforce the law, and they refuse to do their job. Michael, we have anarchy. People do what they want. They break whatever laws they wish, and judges allow them to do so. This is insane. Michael, trust me, it is really hot here this summer. Unusually humid, making it worse. People are angry and losing patience, and my fear is we're going to see violence. I don't want it, nor wish it, and I pray each day it will not happen. But we are at the boiling point here in Arizona. Something is going to give. I can feel it in my bones. This is all because of the radical liberal cabal using the tool, in this case, of a red diaper doper baby judge named Susan Bolton. I suspect that there's a lot of burnout in the political realm right now, in the sense that you feel that you've heard it all. You know who Obama is. You know he's a Marxist. You know the Democrats are liars. You know that there's only a few Republicans who stand between us and the total Sovietization of the country. So you figure, all right, I know all of that. And how much of it can you take every day, right? And you don't want to listen to the con men who tell you, oh, yeah, vote Republican, everything's going to be fine. You know, so you're tuning out of it a little bit. I know that. I know what's going on in the media. If anyone should know it, it should be me. And if I don't know what's going on, I shouldn't be in the business. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Joining us now with the Savage Nation is Jack Hunter.
It's good to be with you, Michael. Well, as we all know, the big story last week and the better part of this week, I suppose, has been the Agriculture Department official Shirley Sherrod, who now famously said before an audience of sympathizers, if you will, for lack of a better term, the initial story was this woman, this Agriculture Department official, had said that she had a problem or was reluctant to give assistance to a white farmer. Of course, this was a big controversy in the news. It led to her dismissal. She was condemned not only by Fox News, many in conservative talk radio, but of course the NAACP, even the White House. Come to find out, if you listen to the whole speech by Mrs. Sherrod, that she was actually setting up a narrative in which she was overcoming past racism or past prejudices she had to say that everybody should be helped that needs it, and it's about the haves and have-nots, and we all know the story there. There's a couple of points I would like to make about this, and of course, Michael, you've been covering this with Mr. Andrew Breitbart, who of course initially broke the story that became a controversy, not just because of what Ms. Sherrod said, but the taken out of context part of that. Well, I think Andrew Breitbart's main point, and he's still defending himself in this manner, and I think he's absolutely right, that if the NAACP is going to pass a resolution condemning the Tea Parties as a racist organization or saying they're harboring racist, and Ms. Sherrod can speak in front of a sympathetic audience and bring up the fact that she was reluctant to help a white farmer, and the audience's reaction was favorable. If you go back and watch the videotape, or you watch the audio, or listen to the audio, rather, it was at least more favorable than people are remembering, given the controversy that followed. I think there's a good point to be made that it's hypocritical to sort of narrow in, or zero in, rather, on the Tea Parties and call them particularly racist, but, you know, an organization on the left or an audience on the left who might be sympathetic to what we initially thought Ms. Sherrod said, that somehow that gets a free pass. I think Andrew Breitbart is right.
Right, right, right.
But there's another narrative being put out there that I think is just as disingenuous as what Mr. Breitbart was trying to point out initially.
What is that?
I was watching CNN's Rick Sanchez last week when all this was blowing up, and of course Ms. Sherrod has been offered a new job, the proper apologies, and rightfully so, have been made to her, taking her words out of context. Rick Sanchez on CNN asked this question. He wasn't alone. He was just one of the more prominent people asking. He asked, what is the correlation between controversies like Van Jones, Acorn, and Shirley Sherrod? Why have conservatives been up in arms about Van Jones, Acorn, and Shirley Sherrod? Well, of course, being a liberal, Mr. Sanchez and many of his liberal friends are saying, well, this is proof positive that the NAACP is right. This is proof positive that we are right. This is proof positive that the left is right in their critique of the Tea Parties, that at root, it has to do with race. It has to do with the fact that we have a black president. That it has little to do with government largesse and spending and unconstitutional behavior by Washington, D.C. No, it all has to do with race and the fact that Van Jones was such a big controversy, the fact that Acorn was and continues to be a controversy, and this latest with Shirley Sherrod proves to you that these Tea Partiers are racially minded primarily. Now, that's hypocritical for a number of reasons, but I would ask them this. I would ask Mr. Sanchez this. I would ask anybody on the left who actually believes the Tea Partiers are primarily racist. What is the correlation between stimulus spending, the Troubled Assets Relief Program, also known as TARP, and national health care, Obamacare, if you will. Those are the primary subjects or issues the Tea Partiers have been most up in arms about.
True.
We could talk about a $13 trillion national debt or a $14 trillion debt ceiling, but contributing to that debt are things like stimulus and TARP and health care. What is the correlation? Well, obviously, it all has to do with government spending. What is the racial angle there, Mr. Sanchez? What sort of racial spin can you put on the fact that the Tea Partiers are up in arms or upset, and rightfully so, righteous indignation over the fact that our government is spending money it doesn't have, it borrows from China, and prints at the Federal Reserve? Now, of course, they say, well, it's a black president doing this. That's why they're upset. That's why people were quick to jump on Shirley Sherrod and, of course, even approach the Van Jones and Acorn controversies. That tells you more about the left's perception of what they think of grassroots conservatives, what liberals think about the Tea Partiers. It's always about race. It must be a racial angle. Could you imagine, Michael, if John Kerry were president right now instead of Barack Obama, carrying out the same agenda? Do you think the left would still somehow find a racial angle, given the fact that the Tea Partiers are primarily, by and large, white? I bet they would, because that's where they go. Barack Obama, being a black man, or first black president, even helps them carry on that narrative further. It helps them takes their perception of what grassroots conservative stands for and solidifies it in almost a perfect way in their stupid liberal minds, quite frankly. It's disgusting.
That's crazy. Sorry, crazy.
When this whole controversy initially erupted with Shirley Sherrod, and of course it was Mr. Breitbart responding to the NAACP resolution that the Tea Partiers are harboring racists, that because somebody holds a sign that features Obama, as a witch doctor, which could be a commentary on national health care as much as any alleged racism, that somebody holds a sign of Obama being seen as Adolf Hitler's or Joseph Stalin, as if anti-war protesters never did that with George W. Bush's image. The fact that there is a fringe element in any movement, look, you could go to a Green Party convention and probably find a racist or two. You could certainly go to an NAACP meeting and find a racist or two or ten. The point is, if the NAACP could pass a resolution sort of condemning the Tea Parties, making a blanket statement that they are primarily racist, or the fact that they harbor racist is somehow indicative, symbolic, or representative of what the movement stands for, then Andrew Breitbart, I'm sorry, still is right in pointing out the initial reaction to Shirley Sherrod's comments about the fact that she was reluctant to help a white farmer. It was regretful what happened afterwards, and apologies should have been issued, her words were taken out of context. I know what that's like, Michael. You certainly know what that's like, to have your words taken out of context. And in this 24-hour news cycle, we are quick to jump to conclusions. But Mr. Breitbart's initial point still stands. This is less about Ms. Sherrod and about the reaction to that initial statement. That audience that heard Ms. Sherrod say that she was reluctant to help a white farmer did not hear the rest of her story at that point. But the reaction seemed favorable.
Mm-hmm.
If that is true, and an audience on the left, Ms. Sherrod's audience, could be favorable to that point that she was reluctant to help a white farmer, how does that perceive a pass? How is that not racist? But the Tea Partiers, who by and large only talk about government spending, government largesse, unconstitutional behavior, that is their primary focus. Sometimes it's a little jumbled, sometimes it's all over the place, but you know what? When you have a populist movement composed of real people, that's what happens. The same thing with the NAACP, you know, or let's take something like the Million Man March that happened about a decade and a half ago. Do you think there were plenty of genuine racists not only in that audience but on that stage speaking along with Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson and the like? Absolutely. Did the left portray it as a racist event? No, they did not, because it was composed primarily of racial minorities. The Tea Party, no matter what they do, because they are primarily white, not exclusively, but primarily, and there's nothing wrong with that, will always be pegged as racist. This Breitbart's point about Shirley Sherrod, or the point that somebody like Rick Sanchez tries to make about Van Jones, Acorn, Sherrod, that will always take precedent, because the left controls the media. There is a liberal media. They control the mainstream narrative about what we're supposed to think about our government, what's good, right, and wrong.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
The Tea Partiers will always be portrayed as racist because we have a black president, but more importantly, because they are conservative. And that is not to be tolerated when we have these national discussions. You know, Michael, if complaining about stimulus, TARP, and national health care, the fact that Social Security and Medicare are insolvent. I'm 36 years old. I don't expect to see Social Security, and a lot of people my age don't either. If complaining about the snowball rolling downhill heading toward hell, as Merle Haggard once said in his famous song, if complaining about our current situation, the status quo, too much spending, which is what I complain about, you complain about, what we're worried about, what the Tea Parties are worried about, if that is racist, then there's no rational conversation you can have with people who make that accusation. You can't have a rational conversation with the left or Rick Sanchez or the NAACP or the people, Shirley Sherrod, her audience, the whole deal. There's no point in doing it. So we just have to keep moving forward. The Tea Party needs to keep doing what it's doing. It's changing the election come 2010 and 2012 and keep pushing forward and hopefully advocating for a better America, a more fiscally responsible America, that we can get back to some sort of sanity in our conservative principles.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
Michael, once again, I appreciate being on tonight. If you want to learn about this and more, I encourage your listeners to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks, Michael. It's always great to be back with you and rock the Savage Nation for health, freedom, and liberty. And I'm glad to be with you as federal, state, and local authorities now are terrorizing, raiding, and confiscating the property of Americans who would dare distribute. And you're thinking, dare distribute. They're doing drugs, right? They're distributing illicit drugs. No, it's not drugs. Not even the pharmaceutical FDA variety, which by and large is as dangerous as the illicit, sometimes more dangerous than the illicit street drugs. No, it's not that. It's those Americans, those small family farmers who would dare distribute in raw foods.
What?
That's right. Raw foods. Now the great danger to the American Republic. Does anyone yet realize, Michael, like you have said, the enemy within is as dangerous as the enemy without? I mean, you know, not to downplay Islamofascism and the dangers that poses from a global perspective, but what about our own government terrorizing our own people simply for wanting to eat differently than the FDA says is healthy? And of course, if it's different than the FDA, you know it's probably healthy because they're still on the kick that cholesterol causes heart disease, where you know that. And I know that, and the Savage Nation audience knows that that is so far down on the list of risk factors for cardiovascular disease as to be silly and ludicrous and downright dangerous with the promotion of statin drugs for younger and younger humans. They call them children. They want to test them at 10 years old for cholesterol levels. Never mind that these kids critically need fat in their diets for the proper function and development of an endocrine system that is in high gear through puberty and young adulthood. And it is as we age we see, and vice versa, which is the cause and effect here, that the endocrine system starts to become dysfunctional. And that's largely due to some of these things that we talk about here on the Savage Nation as well, the toxins coming in through food, water, and air, and how they impact negatively on the hormones and even the enzymes, the basic essential tools of life within the body that keep us young and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You can't argue that we're deficient in toxic substances, but yet our government on so many levels now is looking at family farmers, homeschooling families that are raising their own food and maybe participating. Oh, dare I say this, Michael, participating in like raw food buying clubs where they'll get together and, you know, buy a cow as a community or a number of families so that they can share in the products of the cow. They want to drink raw milk. And the Islamofascists, these are like food fascists. And, you know, it used to be, Michael, that food fascists were considered like the ritzy elitists that believed organic food was better than anything. But now we're just talking science and, of course, the freedom to choose the food that, you know, you believe is right for you and your family. And the food fascists are not the people that believe in quality food anymore. It's the government trying to force everybody to consume the worst, lowest common denominator processed, genetically modified, genetically engineered, pesticide-laden, pasteurized, irradiated foods. And if you believe in that, fine, go ahead, knock yourself out. But what about these families that are saying, hey, I just want to go back and have my family, my kids, on real food. Real food untouched by government agencies that are protecting big agribusiness over the needs and desires of the people who are not asking for government handouts, by the way, who simply want to be left alone. But that cannot be in a fascist society where the people have the freedom to just say, no, sorry, no, thank you. You can do what you want, but we're going to take care of our family a little bit differently here.
Right, right, right.
No, we can't have that in a free society. Well, actually, that's the basic, the cornerstone of a free society. Instead, it seems like we're behaving like a bunch of little children who need permission to eat food that's wrongly thought to be dangerous by bureaucratic economic regulators protecting processed food monopolies. It is now a crime to consume nutrient-dense foods, even among consenting adults. Yeah, we're not talking about wild food orgies here. We're talking about adults and families getting together eating raw food. Oh, man. Fattened for slaughter by FDA-approved animals, hopped up and fattened by antibiotics and synthetic growth hormones, Americans largely sitting on the precipice or maybe their couch waiting for the all clear from the Obama administration, on those dangerous raw food terrorists.
This is unbelievable to me.
You know, Michael, I think Aldous Huxley was more right than George Orwell. You know, certainly we've got a surveillance society now, looking more at little old ladies and children as dangers, you know, whether you're flying on airplanes or whatever, around the corner, dealing in raw food, than, if you think about Aldous Huxley and his Brave New World, he predicted that it wouldn't be by force that the surveillance society would happen. It would actually be by the people begging for it. Begging for it. And of course, with the drug society that we're in, we realize that we've practically been begging to be drugged into complacent happiness rather than endure, having to endure. And this is what has happened in Obama's years, even more so than before, rather than having to endure the burden of the freedom of having to care for ourselves and our family by ourselves or with the free association with communities and extended families that want to care for each other in tough times. We can't be allowed to do that. Now we have to be at the point of a gun forced to participate in things that are our downfall, including and especially now Obamacare. But yet the leftists, the Democrats, and even some of the Republicans that bought into the Prescription Drug Act and such that have precipitated where we are today have this concept of collectivism. We must force everybody to participate or else nobody will help anybody. Of course, that's what, you know, the churches, the synagogues, that's what the religious institutions were for before they were supplanted by the church of government. And the forcefulness worship, which is what Obamacare is, the force into a worshipful position, because no longer is there an ability to say, nope, we don't want any part of it. We'll go a different way. We're not asking for a benefit here. We're just looking to care for our families differently.
I see what you mean.
Aldous Huxley was right. We would beg to be drugged into happiness. Are you on government-sanctioned drugs? I mean, think about this. Who are the real enemies of liberty? In my opinion, Michael, those who would criminalize it are the real enemies of liberty. Who works at the FDA, the FTC, the Department of Agriculture, who would dare intrude on families? And there's a story, and this is a really interesting story out of Ventura County. There's a big raid. 20 agents arrived bearing a search warrant, and these judges, what, given a search warrant? Why? Because people are dealing in raw food. And the Palmer family was attacked, if you will, by this. Third time been raided in 18 months. They got raw goat cheese. Oh, big danger. You're not labeling it properly. Already been raided twice. Computer stolen. I say stolen. Confiscated. There's a 12-year-old daughter in this family, Jasmine. Interesting, and I'm really proud of Jasmine here. She wasn't the least bit tongue-tied when she was talking to these agents. She was back-talking. I mean, not a good idea. I'm not endorsing it, but hey, she says, if you take my computer again, I can't even do my homework. It's a third computer that will have been stolen. They still haven't gotten the ones back from confiscation. This dangerous Palmer family for dealing in raw Foods. 5 hours of searching the barn, the home, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. I mean, you know, when our government starts looking at raw food as the enemy and ignores all the other real threats to freedom, they become an equal, if not worse, threat to freedom of Americans everywhere.
Exactly.
And this is a dangerous precedent among many that are going on because these raids are increasing around the country. The movement, of course, by people waking up and saying, hey, get the government out of our food. You know, you've heard people say, separation of church and state. Hey, how about separation of food and state? Get the government out of our food supply and stop playing corporatism games by endorsing, propping up, funding through stolen taxpayer funds the corporatist ideology, which is welfare just as welfare is, only on a grander scale. So it's not right, left necessarily. It's not Republican, Democrat. They've all participated in this great evil, an attack on the American family.
Well, I've been saying that for years on the Savage Nation.
Do we live by the grace of government, Michael? Or do we live by the grace of God? Because really, God has been supplanted by government at this point in the way they're destroying God-given food, for instance, as it's been grown on this planet since there's been a planet. Perhaps it's a time as we try to remind everybody, I know every day you try to do this, Michael, to remind everybody that right where their rights are originating. And it isn't Washington, D.C., 10 miles square. And I think we better darn remember this before it's completely outlawed. And if it's not for you out there listening, remember that your children and grandchildren depend on it. You know, ask, what are you doing to help others remember? Much less help yourself to remember. What is going on out there? What are the real, who are the real threats to liberty from within and without? And maybe you don't want to eat the way the Palmer family eats or the way I would eat or the way, you know, those that would choose to want to eat healthier. What's the problem with that? If you don't want to, you don't have to. But don't use the power and force of government on every level to attack those who eat differently than you. That is un-American. It is monopolistic. It destroys the origin points, the goodness of our country that loved freedom and free markets. If you don't want to buy raw milk or raw products, you don't have to. Those that do will indulge.
Exactly.
And of course, there are statutes for force, fraud, and issues like this that have always been around. We don't need more laws dictating what we can and can't eat. Yes, Islamofascism is a big threat. But a very immediate threat that's occurring right under our noses is this food fascism coming from government on all levels. Federal, state, and local bureaucrats doing everything they can to prevent Americans from consuming nutrient-dense, raw, non-processed foods. And I'll leave you with this, Michael. I believe the reason they're doing it, and you know this from history, one of the most important, significant, and easy ways for a government to descend or to allow, let's say, the tyranny to reign over people is by limiting their access to quality food, nutrient-dense food and water, and loading them full of toxic chemicals so that they are now dependent upon you and your fascist state to provide whatever nutrients you dole out, synthetic or otherwise, and whatever drugs they approve of, to counter the symptoms that result simply because you cannot get food that is rife with the nutrients necessary for healthy human and animal life. And no, I'm not talking about antibiotic-laden livestock, which is a whole other story, a whole other update, Michael.
Thanks for the report, Robert. Where can we read more?
So this story and many of the stories I cover with you, Michael, are available online on my website at robertscottbell.com. Sign up there, robertscottbell.com. Thanks again. Always a great pleasure to be with you.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
It was announced this morning that the leftist judge in Arizona blocked most of the new immigration law. The midstream media was thrilled.
There is a partial injunction of the Arizona controversial immigration law.
She is saying to the state of Arizona, stop on the key provision, controversial provision of this law.
The White House also has a big stake in everything that happens here, the immigration law and the political blowback from it.
The judge seemed to buy most of the arguments that the federal government had put, and they were really mostly practical arguments.
It was racial profiling.
This is a victory in part for them. They know that still part of this law is going to go into effect.
That most controversial part that allows, some would say, for racial profiling, that part will not go into effect tomorrow.
It's an initial victory for opponents of the Arizona law.
The controversial law and the most controversial part of it won't go into effect tomorrow.
This is definitely an initial victory.
Controversial immigration law.
Controversial.
Controversial.
But that's a major victory.
A major victory? The vermin in the media call it a major victory because to them anything that harms the U.S. of America is a major victory. But is Arizona Governor Jan Brewer reacting to the decision?
I think that it's important to remind everybody that today they absolutely, the federal government got relief from the courts to not to do their job. That means that now they've got this temporary injunction, they need to step up, the feds do, and do the job that they have the responsibility to do for the people of America and for the people of Arizona.
And here's Senator Robert Menendez attacking the law.
First of all, you know, one of the things that we've seen, even before this Arizona law went into effect across the country in immigration raids, is that U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents of the United States who obey the law, follow the rules, have been unlawfully detained. There's one case of a young Mexican-American born in the United States, Iraq War veteran, that was detained unlawfully for weeks until his immigration status was determined. Who among us would accept second-class citizenship in this country simply because of the nature of who we look like, how we speak, or the neighborhood we live in?
But we're not talking about citizens, idiot. We're talking about the illegals who bring crime, death, and disease into this country. And strangely enough, there was another little notice story on bed bugs infesting New York City. Where do you think they're coming from?
Bed bugs have become such a scourge that leaders are calling for a bed bug czar. New York City's mayor is considering hiring the czar to do battle against those tiny beasts. A panel recommended the new position. Researchers say bedbug populations have increased 500% in recent years, and not just in New York City. Listen to where one exterminator says he's worked.
Bill Clinton's office on 125th Street.
You'll never find them. It is sort of like insanity.
We'll get them clean, but in a year from now, anything can happen.
Gross. I mean, people in New York City, though, are really appalled by this, freaked out, avoiding pretty much anything that looks like it could be bedbug infested.
I wonder where all those bedbugs come from. Could it be the disease-ridden illegal aliens who come streaming across the border without health checks? I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. Let's look at the examples of serious crimes of illegal aliens in 2010. Shall we? Would you like to look at some of them? How about this one? July 2010. Rodolfo Godinez Gomez, an illegal alien convicted in Newark, New Jersey, for the 2007 execution-style slayings of three persons and attempted murder of a fourth by members of the Amara Salvatrucha gang, and was sentenced to three life terms plus 20 years. Godinez entered the U.S. in 1992 and was ordered deported in 93. He was arrested as a juvenile for robbery in 99, was put on probation for 18 months. In 02, he was arrested and indicted for aggravated assault, robbery, and weapons possession. In 03, he was arrested for robbery in Newark and sentenced to 18 months of probation. There are many others. Minor Quintanilla Leon, an illegal alien, pled guilty to sexually exploiting a minor to produce child pornography in Prince George's County, Maryland. May 2010, Rene Pinto Melendez, a Honduran illegal alien, pled guilty to second-degree murder. At the time of the murder, he was out on bond, awaiting trial on charges of drunken driving. He had two earlier DWI convictions. May 2010, Joel Eliezer Ortega, an illegal alien, was convicted in Reno, Nevada, to life in prison for dragging a paralyzed woman out of her wheelchair, raping her, and leaving her nude in an alley to die. Reno Gazette. May 2010, Jose Lopez Madrigal, a Mexican illegal, in jail in Seattle, charged with rape. Fingerprints established he was deported nine times since 1989, when he was deported following a conviction for armed robbery. His other convictions include narcotics trafficking and sexual assault. King's TV News. Shall I go on? April 2010, Christian Daniel Castro Alvarez, Mexican teenager, pled guilty to killing a Border Patrol agent. Sentenced to 40 years in prison, Los Angeles Times. I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of these cases. Which you don't want to hear any of this, though, because they all come here to work. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. I denounce the judge. I denounce those on the left who have destroyed the people's will to go on. It's all from the ACLU. It is all from the ACLU. 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 The entire problem is from the ACLU. Lawsuits brought by the ACLU have crippled America and destroyed her ballot box. The ACLU is a foreign entity. The ACLU is an anti-American agency. The ACLU should be investigated when a conservative government takes power, if that's ever possible. All of the leadership of the ACLU, in my opinion, should be arrested, their assets seized, and the organization closed down as a criminal, racketeering-influenced, corrupt organization. That's one man's opinion. What's yours?
Savage.